You ever watch a video on YouTube or TikTok and it shows someone walking right on the edge at the top of a very tall building? Or maybe they're right at the edge of a cliff with a steep drop off and they're doing flips or some stupid thing just to get views and show how fearless they are. Every time I see one of those, I get this weird feeling in my gut because I think about the risk that they're taking and the horrifying outcome if they make just one little mistake. I wasn't always afraid of heights. As a kid, I was on the roof of our house all the time. But as an adult, I fell off a roof, and since then, I avoid high places. That's why I'll most likely never go hang gliding. It actually does look like it would be an incredible experience, just flying silently through the air. But my mind would always go back to the thought of what could go wrong. That kind of destroys the moment. My guest in this episode, Chris, went hang gliding and he found out exactly what could go wrong. It was his first time, and he was flying with an experienced hang gliding pilot. When they took flight, Chris realized he was not strapped in. His pilot had forgotten to attach him to the hang glider. This is a flashback episode. Chris originally told this story a few years back here on the podcast, so after you hear his story, I'll play a recent conversation I had with him so you can hear what's happened since then. And I asked him, have you ever gone hang gliding again? And hang around to the end because I've recently discovered a podcast that I think you'll really enjoy. Real people in unreal situations.
There is a girl hanging by her broken leg from the telephone wire.
And I called 911 and I said, I found a baby.
I turned around. I see a gun pointed at me close enough I could touch it.
She would hold our heads underwater all the time.
He levels the gun, pulls the trigger, and I go down.
Her eyes were full of tears. She didn't want to leave us.
My hair catches on fire.
I swear to God, this image is burning my head for the rest of my life.
I'm Scott Johnson, and this is What Was That Like?
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Before this happened, had you ever had any kind of close brush with death before?
Never, no. This was a first time for me for anything as crazy as that.
Wow, and hopefully the last, right?
Yeah.
All right, you live here in Florida, actually, not too far from me even. I'm just up in the Tampa Bay area.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So yeah, we're not too far. But this happened in Switzerland, right?
Yes.
Okay, so you were like on vacation, and matter of fact, as I think I recall, this was the first day of your vacation.
Yeah. Me and my wife, we like to travel different places, and it was on our bucket list to come to Switzerland. We usually do something on vacation that's interesting, you know. And normally it's zip lining. We've zip lined in, you know, four or five different countries. You know, it's something that we've always done. We've had our balloon before. She got me a skydiving trip for my 40th birthday. So, you know, we've gone to the air a few times. This time she, you know, was looking into the hang gliding and, you know, says, you want to do that? And I'm like, Sounds cool. Let's do it.
So you both are kind of adventure seekers, it sounds like.
Nothing crazy. You know, zip lining's just, you know, zipping between. It's pretty safe. Hot air balloon was awesome. I love that. The floating up effortlessly was cool. Hang gliding was just another part of something like that. And that's the only thing we actually set ahead of time when we went to Switzerland. The rest of the trip was going to be just exploring.
You know, the common theme among all those things is heights.
Yeah.
So obviously neither of you have a fear of heights.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Okay. Good. I actually bungee jumped once.
Mm-hmm. And, I haven't done that yet.
No, you got to try that. It's pretty cool. But what I found interesting was that the adrenaline doesn't leave your body very quickly. No. I had a hard time sleeping that night. So you got to Switzerland your first day. You're looking for I assume you probably booked this hang gliding trip ahead of time, right? You had a reservation.
Yeah, that's the only thing we did ahead of time was the hang gliding reservation. My wife picked it out, found it. Everything looked cool on her website. Safety rating was good. You know, like we always do, we check out the safety rating, the reviews, and all the reviews are great. And so we booked it.
Does the service that you use, do they have several pilots, or is this like a one-man operation, or how's it set up?
Now, there's several pilots. I think it's just, you know, luck of the draw who you get that day. And the owner wasn't actually at the facility. He was, I think he was on vacation. So we got two of the other pilots, and, they were great. They picked us up at the hotel. They had another couple of guys that just finished up their flight, and they were raving about it. The guy in the front of me said this was the coolest thing he's ever done. He's done a lot of things. So we were all psyched up. And once we dropped them off, we started heading to the place to go get the gliders and get the other pilot.
So you were each going to be hang gliding, you and your wife?
We both did. We had two pilots go up and two hang gliders.
Okay. All right. I didn't realize that.
She had a beautiful flight.
Okay. Do you have any idea how experienced your pilot was?
They both talked about it. The one guy that my pilot said he was doing it for like 10, 12 years. So, you know, I'm just going by what they say.
Well, and there's some kind of a license involved too, right?
So, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think somebody said at one point that my pilot did do some time training or working at the place in Orlando that does this.
Oh, okay. There's a hang gliding place in Orlando?
There's several in Florida. Yeah, there's no hill to jump off of in Florida, so they...
That's what I was thinking. There's no hills, yeah.
There's a little airplane that pulls you up, and then you release the cable.
And then you release it. Okay. So just before you got on this flight, did you or your wife, either of you, have any kind of hesitation or any kind of bad feeling at all about this?
No, not really. Not really. You know, before we left on the trip, I thought it was odd that I started getting really sharp pains in my right hand. I don't know if that's anything to do with anything, but before we left for the trip, I was talking to her and I'm like, oh my God, what is wrong with my hand? It's just all of a sudden shooting pains from my hand. It happened like twice. And I didn't think anything of it. So I don't know if, you know,
was that the wrist you broke?
Yeah. Yeah. That was kind of weird.
Foreshadowing.
Coincidence.
Okay. So you're getting ready to go. What kind of orientation do they give you before you take off?
On the way up the hill, they're driving up and they're joking around. They're showing us videos of previous flights and other people that were doing it. And they're making fun of the whole thing. It was pretty cool because they were cool guys. They were laughing and joking. You know, we go past the graveyard and he points out this is all our former clients, you know, and it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of good humor.
I wonder if they still make those jokes.
I don't know about that last one, but.
So, all right. So take us through what happened that day from when you first were, you know, like whatever kind of training they do to through the, how everything played out.
We parked at a certain spot and then we still had to walk up, several hundred feet to get to the launch zone, helping them carry the bags and stuff up there. Once we got up there, we split up. My wife was with one pilot. I was with the other pilot. And they were setting up the wing and they had us help stick the support rods in, and you know, they were behind us checking it all out. Then came time to put the safety harness on. So, you know, he opens it up, puts it in front of me. Okay, put your foot here, pulls it up. And then he grabs the top part of it and, okay, put your hands through here. Your head goes here. And he cinches it all up. And then there's a bar that hangs from my harness that once we're airborne, I put my feet on and it levels me out.
So you're in kind of a Superman position.
Yeah, yeah. He had to get that just my height of, you know, the depth of my feet. So he set everything up on my safety harness perfectly. And then we practice running. I had to grab a handle on his right shoulder, and there was a hand grip on his left side also. So we practiced the run probably 3 or 4 times just so we were in sync and we, you know, got things going fast enough to get off the hill. After that, we walked underneath the glider, which was set up and ready to go. And he was doing a little checking behind him, which this is my first time hand gliding, so I'm not sure what's going on, what we do or anything. I didn't do any research on it. My wife set this up, so I assumed everything was good. We were ready to roll. So we walked up to the edge of the hill there, and we waited probably 2-3 minutes because they have little flags on sticks, and they wait for the wind to blow up the hill because there's a big lake in the distance, and the wind blows up the hill, and it's a perfect launch place because you can just, as soon as you go off, it starts pulling you up. There's such a breeze coming up. So when the flag started going pretty good, he says, let's go, 1, 2, 3, run. And then we ran, and you're supposed to run till your feet leave the ground. And as soon as my feet left the ground, I was in a precarious situation. Didn't know if I did something wrong, if I didn't put my feet in the, you know, I'm supposed to drop the bar that I'm supposed to stand on. And I had no clue what was going on. People were asking, how come you didn't just jump right off? Well, in the video, it looks like I could, but actually I couldn't. It was way too high. The video was deceiving in that area.
You got some altitude pretty quickly.
Oh yeah. By the time I was trying to grab on and, you know, look up and see what was going on, I was already over a farmhouse, you know, and gaining altitude.
Obviously the pilot must have immediately realized something was wrong.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I'm supposed to be floating above him. And in turn, I was hanging below him.
Did he say anything to you at that point? Or
it was a struggle at first. We were both trying to, I didn't know what was going on. I'm grabbing, I'm, you know, trying to get a handhold. And he looked like he was trying to figure out what just happened. And I think he realized pretty quick. So he was trying to grab and try to pull me up a little bit, but he couldn't pull my weight up. And I couldn't pull my weight up because, you know, it was just a dead hang pretty much. And I think that's what caused us to veer off to the right immediately. In the video, we veer off to the right, and there's houses and there's some open fields there next to the houses. But I don't think he could have landed there because the wind was coming up the hill so hard that I don't think we would have even remotely landed anywhere around there.
Because when he first realized it near the beginning of the flight, I think he tried to land pretty quickly, right?
It looked that way, but I don't think there was a spot, and the way the wind was blowing, and when you're, I'm not an expert at hand gliding by any means, but there's the triangular brace that's in the middle of it that they hang on to and they can turn and do all their maneuvers. To get the tip of the hand glider back down, they have to pull themselves in between that and move the weight distribution up front to get the glider to go back down. Well, he was stuck in back and I was hanging on the landing gear, so there was no way to get the tip of that glider down.
Right. You guys were in a sort of a permanent gain altitude position.
Yeah, we were just kind of plowing through the air down the hill because it was, you know, there was no way to angle that nose down.
What do you think your altitude was at that point? Or
I don't even know. Once we got, we've made the left again, and, you know, everybody says we gained altitude. Well, we didn't gain altitude. The hill just fell away from us. So based on the size of the little cars that look like ants below me, I don't know. I would say 1,000 plus feet. The elevation of that hill was 4,000 feet. So I'm not sure exactly how high we were, but to the ground, it was 4,000 foot.
Far enough down that if you fell down or if you dropped, you're not going to make it.
Nope.
When I saw the video on YouTube, did you edit the video yourself?
Yeah. I kind of mess around with stuff like that. So,
okay. And obviously the annotations and the graphics that you put on, there was a level of humor involved. Now that you're looking back on it, you can laugh, but I gotta say, you had to have been just scared to death, though.
I don't know if it was scared. I just tried to stay calm the whole way down, just concentrating on. I mean, at one point when I looked down, I envisioned myself falling. I kind of saw myself falling through the air in my mind, and that's when I just decided that that's not an option, and I'm just gonna hang on as hard as I can.
And you were only hanging on with your hands, right? I mean, yeah. It's not like you could get that bar under your arm or, to get a better leverage or anything, right?
If hindsight, if I would have thought about getting both hands on that bar, because my right hand was just searching for something to grab onto most of the time and ended up being hanging onto the fabric of his pant leg at the end, which wouldn't have done me anything if I lost my grip with my left hand. Mm-hmm. But if I would have really thought about it and grabbed both hands on that bar or pulled myself up and put my elbow around it or something, that probably would have been a little easier.
I guess you'll know that for next time then.
Yeah. Next time I'll bring an extra bungee cords with me so I don't have to worry about that.
Right. Yeah. And so I understand you tore a muscle in your bicep.
That's the tendon. Right. The bicep tendon is split as the biceps is two muscles. One's a thicker muscle, which is the bigger part of it, and one's a thinner one, which holds by a tendon to your shoulder. And that one kind of split because I was holding on too long.
And that was on your left arm that was on the bar the whole time.
Right? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Could you tell exactly when that happened?
Oh, no. Uh-uh. It was after I got out of the hospital, I realized that, when you work out and you do a little too much and you kind of pull your muscle out a little bit, my bicep felt like that and it wasn't going away. And then, I think I was in the hotel room with my sling on and I was moving something and my tricep muscle popped at the same time. And I was like, there's something wrong with my arm here.
But that must have happened in flight.
Oh, I'm sure it did. I read a quote by someone in the saying that, normal person uses 40% of their strength. And he says, if I tore a tendon in one of my muscles, then I use over 100%.
And so even after that muscle was torn, you still kept hanging on.
I had no other choice.
You weren't necessarily using that muscle so much to hang, though. It was more like your hands, right? Is that where you felt the weakness was in your hand?
I don't know if it was a weakness or I didn't really feel anything, but just holding on was the only thing on my mind. I wasn't, this is hurting or anything. I just locked on, and that's pretty much what I did. And it could have happened when my feet hit the ground and I got my grip got pulled off. Maybe that's when it tore. I don't know.
I don't know how many other people do this, but I like to plan my weekly meals. Maybe I'm just weird, but I like quick and easy. That's just one of the benefits you can get with Cook Unity. Go to cookunity.com/what or enter code what before checkout to get 50% off your first week. One of the dishes I recently had was the Green Goddess Falafel Bowl. Oh, I loved it. The falafel was seasoned perfectly, and I love how crispy it is on the outside, but really moist on the inside. It's a signature dish of Enat Admoni. She's known around the world as a chef. You've probably seen her on TV, and her dishes are made right here in Florida, so I'm supporting local business, and I love that. And the convenience of Cook Unity is crazy. I mean, I've got podcast episodes to produce. I don't have time for cooking. These meals are delivered fully cooked. So when it's time to eat, I pick a meal based on my mood for that day. I heat it for a few minutes and enjoy. The menus are updated every week, so there's always something new to try. You can choose from over 350 meals based on your dietary needs or taste preferences, or go wild and have CookUnity pick for you, because every meal is just amazing.
Make the best meal plan ever with the convenience, chef-level quality, and endless variety of CookUnity. Go to cookunity.com/what or enter code WHAT before checkout for 50% off your first week. That's 50% off your first week by using code WHAT or going to cookunity.com/what.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of The Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to The Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into The Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to The Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in The Daily Book Club.
The total time that you were hanging was, I believe, 2 minutes and 14 seconds?
Yes. Yeah.
You know, just hearing that number, it doesn't seem like a very long time.
Yeah.
But
no.
For somebody, you could, you know, go find a chin-up bar or something and just hang there for a couple of minutes and see how long it is, right?
Yeah.
Especially when you're in a situation like that where you're thousands of feet above the ground, man.
And I thought it took forever. I was guessing, because since my wife took off before I did and I landed before she did, she was up in the air for like 15 minutes. So I'm thinking it was like 5 minutes. But when I got the video back, I looked at it and I'm like, all right, only 2 minutes, 14 seconds.
And when did she understand, or when did she realize that you guys were having a problem?
She really didn't know the actual true story until we were in the ER. And the pilot went with us to the ER and he sat with us the whole time. So he got up to go get his car or his keys or go to the bathroom or something. And she's like, what, did you just land hard? Because she never knew what happened. She said, did you land bad? Did your hand come down or something? And I'm like, I was never attached. And that's when her mouth hit the floor. And she's like, are you kidding me?
Wow. Well, it's kind of better that she didn't know when it was happening, right?
Right.
Talk about the landing. How did that happen? When you, like, I mean, how far off the ground were you when you dropped?
My feet actually touched the ground. It's a GoPro that was filming it. So it's got the fisheye. So it looks like we're actually higher than we were. But we were coming in and I saw the ground coming up and I was, you know, very glad to see it because I had about another 5 seconds left in my left hand grip. I mean, my hand was opening and I didn't have much left in me. But I looked down and I just, you know, pointed my toes a little bit and because we were coming in about 45 miles an hour. And as soon as my toes hit the ground, it just kind of pulled my grip off and I just hit the ground pretty hard and did a couple of flips or rolls. And I sat up and I just, you know, composed myself. And, you know, I just, I hit the ground. It didn't knock the wind out of me or anything. I sat up and I just was like, wow, what just happened? And then I'm like, something's not right. And I looked down at my wrist and it was all bulged out and I can just start feeling the dull, you know, something's not right feeling. And so I looked down and I says, my wrist is broken.
Still, that's, you know, I mean, think about if you fell out of a car at 45 miles an hour.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's, you know, it could have been a lot worse.
Definitely. Oh yeah. Good thing I had a helmet on, you know, cause I did hit my face, my glasses pushed in a little bit. I got a scrape on my forehead. My left bicep was just ripped to pieces. Like I drug it on a street after come falling out of a car. Yeah.
So the pilot kind of dropped you off and then he continued and landed. How far away was he when he stopped?
I think he was about 100 feet or so. He flew over a fence post and he ended up landing in a gun range because there's a gun range. I don't know why they have a gun range just above their landing strip, but there's a gun range there. So he landed in a gun range.
That could have been a whole other level of complexity to this story, huh?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So he got himself unbuckled pretty quick. And in my portion of the video, which I didn't post, I mean, he was breathing so heavy, just, you know, because it took everything he had to get that thing down, how he did. So he was just gasping for air, and he unhooked, and he came up to me, and he just said, just don't get up, don't get up, just stay still, stay still. Stay, you know, he's expecting I'm going to shock out or something. And I just said, my wrist is broken. I don't know how I stayed calm through the whole thing for some reason. I said, my wrist is broken. We need to go get this taken care of. I says, you know, he's like, just stay still, just stay still. And I'm like, I'm fine. I can get up. So we got up.
You know what? Sometimes people in shock think they're fine.
Yeah, I know.
Can get up, you know?
Yeah. I kind of knew it. I knew my wrist was broken, and that's the only thing I felt that was off.
Just as a complete aside, what kind of work do you do? I mean, are you exposed to emergency situations at all?
No, I up until this week, I was a parts manager at a Porsche Volkswagen dealership.
Okay. It's not like you're an EMT or something that you see emergencies on a regular basis.
I got four brothers and a sister, so I've seen enough of, you know, broken arms and blood and gore. So
it's good to know how you'll react in a situation like that, though, because most people don't know because they've never been exposed to that.
And I think that's the whole thing, is just remaining calm and thinking things through instead of freaking out. I mean, I've had so many people say, how weren't you not screaming your brains out and freaking out? And I think if I did that, I wouldn't have held on.
Right.
Because that you use up more energy doing that. And
that's right. Panic is never good.
Yeah.
Never good. So how did you get to the hospital? Did you land near a road so an ambulance could get to you, or what happened then?
The field I landed in was, I think it was pretty much a cow pasture. And then after that was the gun range. And then a few more fields up was the actual landing site. So the road went behind everything. So once we got stood up and started walking, he says, we need to get to the road so our van can pick you up. So we start getting over there. So I had to climb underneath two electric fences with a broken wrist. He's like, duck down lower, you know. So climbed underneath two electric fences and got to the road. And we walked down the road a little bit. And then his partner with the van came pulling up. And they're like, we're taking you to the hospital. It's right over here. It's real quick. Come on, get in. And I'm like, I'm not getting in anything until my wife is sitting here with me.
And how far away was she?
She was down. She was at the regular landing site. She was waiting for me to land. She asked her pilot. She's like, when's my husband coming in? Which way is he coming in? And he kind of saw us on the way down because she has a video of her flight and it's beautiful. And coming into landing, I see him looking down to our area. And, you know, he's like, I think he's down already. There might have been an issue. So she's like, all right, whatever. So she's just having a drink.
That's the understatement of the year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Wow. So we pulled the van around to the actual hang gliding place. And my wife's standing there just looking around, having a beer, just waiting for me to show up. And I'm like, yeah, come here. We got to go to the hospital. And that's when, you know, we all got in and we went to the emergency room. And, you know, it took a while. We did some x-rays and went back and did some more x-rays. And they told us, you know, it's going to have to have surgery to repair it. So I was given the option of doing it now, today, or when I get back home. And we just got there. So we had seven more days left. So we just decided, let's just do it now. And the pilot stayed with us the entire time. I mean, his flight's insurance covered everything. So we didn't have to do anything there. He stayed with us until it was like 11 p.m. I didn't get surgery yet because it's Switzerland with a lot of mountains. And the helicopter brought three other people in while I was in there who were in worse shape than I was. So I got pushed back on the surgery table. So it was, I was scheduled to go in at 11:30 p.m. And at 11 o'clock, I just told my wife, I'm like, you can't do nothing for me here. I mean, I'm going to be whacked out in surgery. I said, just, you know, he was going to drive her back to the hotel. And I said, just go back to the hotel and, you know, get me some clean clothes and come back tomorrow. So she wasn't too happy about that, but she did. And I went into surgery at 11:30 and I didn't get out till 3:30 a.m. It was interesting waking up out of anesthesia in a strange hospital with everybody speaking German. It took me a while to figure that one out.
And so how long were you in the hospital?
I got out of the hospital at like 3 o'clock the next afternoon. So it was from our flight was, it was before noon. So it was only, you know, a day or so, a little over a day.
And you continued your vacation from there?
Yeah, we went sightseeing and stuff. I took it easy for a day at the hotel. You know, we had to go get more bandages and treatments and stuff. And I had to keep taking my sling off. There was a brace and a sling that was wrapped. So I had to keep taking that off every day and putting new bandages on. And we ended up, you know, we didn't get to do what we wanted to do. We wanted to go golfing. We wanted to go hiking. You know, we didn't get to do that. But we hopped on the train and we went to Lucerne and saw the Lucerne lion that's carved into the wall in Lucerne, and we just went around and checked different places out, the restaurants and shops and the views, you know, just checking things out.
Yeah. You're already there. Why not? Right.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea what actually happened as to, you know, why did this go wrong? Was it just simple forgetfulness, or did you talk to the pilot about it?
I didn't really. Well, we questioned him when we got to the hospital. My wife was questioning him a lot. And after the fact, my wife and I spoke about it, and I asked her how her pilot went through the whole process, and her pilot verbally announced everything he was doing as he was doing it. My pilot, you know, once we got the harness on and we got underneath there, he must have got distracted and just skipped a few steps because he didn't verbalize any of that.
Right. He just had his mental checklist that he's probably done hundreds of times.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow. You think of something that's that ingrained and you've done it so long, to how can you forget such a critical step? That just seems really odd. But hey, everyone's a human, right? We can all.
And that's how I'm looking at it. I mean, I'm alive to tell the story. You know, I got, you know, two surgeries coming up still. I'm going to have the plates removed from my wrist next month, and then my shoulder scoped out the month after that. So he's human. He did all he could in the video. You can see he's flying with one hand holding onto my safety harness, and, you know, he's trying to make a beeline landing, getting us down quick. So it's human error. I really can't, you know, point fingers. I'm not that way.
And it sounds like, I mean, I would, at least I'm just imagining that throughout this flight, as scared as you were, he must have been just terrified himself.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like I said, when he got to the ground, he was gasping for air. I mean, it took all he had to get us down and do that. So.
And I understand that, or I read that the incident is being investigated by flight authorities in Switzerland, or what do you know what's happening there?
I've heard that too, but he actually went and reported himself. He went to the Swiss hand gliding authorities and reported himself and told them the whole incident. And, you know, the guy was devastated. He's never going to forget this for the rest of his life. I mean, he felt absolutely horrible about it, because he couldn't explain what had happened. He says, I don't know. It was just human error. I don't know what happened. He reported himself, and I don't think there's really an investigation. I think they just might be updating their safety standards a little bit. From all the hand gliding places that I've received calls from that want to give me a free ride now.
Free hand gliding for life. Huh?
Just about. Yeah. They all, you know, talk about doing a hang check. A lot of people talk about doing a hang check is when the glider is on the ground, you hook yourselves in, and then you just hang from the guide, the wires holding you up. And then you get up and you go, just to verify that you're locked in.
When I'm watching the video, it looks like we're watching from behind, mm-hmm. but it looks like there's another camera out front swinging back and forth. Yeah. Is there another video facing you guys?
That was their camera. My GoPro was taped to the back tail of that thing pointing down, so that my mm-hmm. camera was attached to the back. His camera may or may have not even been on. Because since it was flopping back and forth, I mean, he wasn't touching it. He was just worried about getting me down.
Right.
If there wasn't any footage on there, I'm sure it's been deleted. By the time I got my camera back, when I was in the ER, the camera footage was deleted also.
Wait a minute. Say that again. What was deleted?
My footage off of my camera was deleted.
How did you still have the video then?
A place called salvagedata.com. They undelete video. They dig down into all the sectors and they pull the video out and rebuild it. They do hard drives when the hard drives crash, and they mm-hmm. retrieve information. That's what they specialize in. So I sent it off to them and they pulled the whole video back.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
You know, because my primary business is computer repair and I do data recovery myself. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of times people think they can just format a drive and all the stuff's gone, but
right.
it's not really gone, obviously, because yeah. that's amazing that they were able to get that back. And what did the hang gliding place say about why that was deleted?
I don't know if it was my company, I don't know if I would have done the same thing, just trying to do damage control, because, you know, the last thing I want to do is put someone out of business. Last thing I want to do is hurt a whole community of people that do this for a living. I mean, I've been reached out to by umpteen hand gliding associations wanting to know if I'd be willing to help them in their safety procedures, or, you know, I was told that I brought a lot of attention to hand gliding again. And I just, you know, it's not what I...
But is this good attention, though? That's the question.
It's brought attention to it. And I think that if they do the safety checks like everybody says they should be doing, you know, that's the way it should be done. But wasn't my intention putting this video on to hurt that or to make it look bad. Pretty much have a YouTube page just to throw stupid videos on to show my family and friends. You know, I got a lot of movie trailers and stuff, and we go on trips and I'll add my video and I'll share it with my family and friends. No idea that video was going to do what it did.
Yeah, it's kind of gone viral a little bit, huh?
Oh, yeah.
If I were in their shoes, I would be thinking, man, this guy's an American. Americans sue everybody. And what do we have to do to protect ourselves?
Well, we did actually talk with a lawyer in Switzerland, not really to you know, retire, you know, from suing the pants off of somebody. We just wanted to know what our legal rights were. Switzerland's an entirely different country than the U.S. It doesn't have ambulance chasers. They put a cap on things over there. So what we get back if we, you know, did do a lawsuit or anything would be anything we've lost, you know, any funds that we've lost because this happened. So, you know, we went out and bought bandages and we took all our dirty clothes and stuck them in my wife's suitcase, and we went to the post office and mailed that back to our house. So we didn't have to carry two big suitcases. I had a 70-pound camera backpack that I wasn't going to be able to handle. My wife probably wasn't either. So we bought another case for that. So we, you know, my watch got ripped off my arm. I don't know where that is. Just you know, it's whatever you've lost.
So just, yeah, reimbursing what you expect your expenses were. Yeah. Here's the big question. Would you try it again?
Definitely. Definitely. My wife wants to do it again. She had a fabulous trip. I mean, just she's apprehensive to share her video or any of her pictures because of what happened to me. But I saw the pictures and I saw her video, and it was absolutely beautiful. I mean, you can see the background when I take off the mm-hmm. lake and the.
Oh, yeah. It's awesome.
And she was even higher, so she said it was like flying, effortlessly just soaring through the sky. So I do want to try it again. It's something I think I should do to get over this.
Well, yeah. And thinking from, you know, from a statistical standpoint, the hang gliding is it's like skydiving, you know, it's from the numbers, it's a very safe sport. And for something like this to happen, what happened to you is just such a small chance. I mean, if you go again, the chances of it happening a second time got to be astronomical.
It's just me. Yeah. It's my bad luck.
Right.
No, it was like a one in a million kind of thing. I mean, you don't hear of this happening much at all. I did a little research on Google just trying to see if there was anybody else that had the same thing happened. I didn't find many that lived to tell the story, but one that came up was a girl in Canada that did it, and she was unhooked, and the pilot had her wrapped in her legs underneath her, and she fell to her death. And I think in that instance, the pilot actually took the SD card out of the camera and swallowed it.
Yeah, but you know what, though? Even that doesn't destroy it.
No. And they got it back. They got it back, and he was charged with criminal neglect or something like that. So, and that's an, I'm not looking to put anybody in a bad spot. I think the guy, he feels horrible about the whole situation, and he will probably for the rest of his life.
Yep. He'll never forget it, and you'll never forget it.
Nope.
Well, Chris, that's a wild story. Is there anything, any aspect of it that we didn't talk about that you wanted to talk about?
When people ask me if, I do it again, I say, yeah. And they're like, you're crazy. And, we go on trips every third year or something like that to a different country. We try something different. I'm 54 years old now. I'm, still young enough to get around and go do this stuff. And I'm going to live my life. I'm not going to be scared to go somewhere or do something that might look scary because I can die driving to work in my car. So I'd rather, while I'm doing something fun.
I agree. That's the way to look at it. Well, I appreciate you coming on here, taking your time. I love this story. And good luck on your next hang gliding trip.
Thank you.
Every one of these flashback episodes we do, it's like we say, man, I can't believe it's 5 years, but it's true. 5 years just flew by.
Yeah. Oh, it's, I still keep getting, comments every day on my YouTube page. So there's a little subtle reminder,
Yeah. Your story was definitely a big one. I mean, it went viral worldwide. How many views has that video had now?
It's got just shy of 12 million views right now.
12 million views, man. When we last spoke, you mentioned that you had a couple of surgeries coming up, one on your wrist and one on your shoulder. How has the healing process gone since then?
I think I'm a pretty quick healer because I have had no problems with my wrist or my shoulder since both surgeries. I had to have the plate taken out of my wrist, so I had to have, that surgery, and then I had to go through physical therapy and all that again. And then my shoulder was a pretty simple surgery, but, that was another bout of physical therapy to get my arms over my head again.
Yeah. But when you think about what could have happened, I mean, do you ever think about that? Man, I almost died.
Oh, yeah. I think about it all the time. I could have not walked away from that at all or, ended up, quadriplegic or, even worse. So I think that's what kept me hanging for so long. I just decided that, that ain't going to happen.
One thing that we talked about, I think it was after we stopped recording on our original conversation, was that you ended up losing your job sort of as a result of this experience. How did that happen?
Right after it happened and the video happened, I had a lot of attention, people calling me for interviews and this and that. I had, I think, three news crews show up at my work one day, one in the morning, one in the midday, one in the afternoon. And, it was a little bit of a distraction, but, I worked around it. I, stayed later, finished my stuff up, and I remember showing my, the controller of the dealership. I remember showing her my video. And she was blown away by it, but then she kept saying, "Oh my God, you're going to be rich! You're going to be rich! You're going to be rich!" And I'm like, "That's not how it is, It's not how things are going, It's Switzerland. There's no major lawsuit like the U.S., So there's no real pot of gold at the end of that that instance. So I think she had that in her head the whole time. So things just started happening at work. there was an accusation of theft by me. You know, I'd been with the company for 20 some years and I did everything, you know, for the company. You know, I'm not that kind of person, you know, so that really was a slap in the face, accused me of stealing something, which I proved them wrong because whatever they said I was stealing was right there. You know, I showed them this is where it is. And so after that, everything was fine. They said everything was fine. And then a few weeks later, they came out with something else. So they were trying to find something to let me go because I think they thought it was too much of a distraction.
And it's not like you didn't post that video thinking, wow, this is going to be viral everywhere. And you know what? If it happened in the U.S., there may have been a big payday for you just because of being such a litigious society like we are.
Yeah, there probably would have been a line of lawyers waiting at the bottom of a hill for me, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But
right.
It was kind of a slap in the face when they let me go.
But you landed back on your feet. You've got a similar job at another place and you're doing fine, right?
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely. Still,
that's awesome.
still planning our trips and everything. So
yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you about. You said that, I mean, I think you call yourself an adventure traveler and you do something regularly. What do you have coming up?
Next trip, we're going to the Azores. It's the Hawaiian Islands of Europe, someplace we've never been. And you know, my wife always sets these up for us. She's always looking for the next spot that we can go, and she's been right on. I mean, we've been to some absolutely beautiful places. So, and when we go there, we always look for something to do, something a little more exciting, off the beaten path. I'm not sure what the Azores has for us just yet, but we're always looking for that special excursion or something that we do that's out of the ordinary.
Right, something fun. Have you been hang gliding again?
1 year after the incident, I went back to Switzerland and I ran off that same hill.
Oh, wow. With the same company?
Different company, different pilot. I flew with Wolfgang Sies, who's like one of the top hang gliders in the world. It was a very, very awesome experience. It was what I wanted in the first place.
Much better than the first time, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And did the guy that took you, did he know your history of what had happened?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it's a crazy story because, you know, I always took the high road in this whole story. I didn't name names. I didn't point fingers. I didn't try to bash anybody for not hooking me up or whatever. It was a error. It was an accident, you know, and that's what I looked at it as. And the tourism board of Interlaken, Switzerland really liked how I approached that. So they approached me and asked if we wanted to come back to Switzerland to redo our vacation.
Oh.
So, yeah, they set everything up for us.
Wow, you can't turn that down.
No. So we set it up where we were the last day of vacation this time to go hand gliding again, and it was fantastic.
It does look like fun. I've never done it, but it just looks like it would be pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's just effortless. I mean, you're just flying, you're just sailing above the ground. I mean, we've done hot air ballooning before, and that's kind of, you know, it's different, but it's just, you know, you're effortlessly just lifted off the ground and floating through the air. It's an awesome experience.
Now, something that you've done more recently is you wrote a book about this experience. How did that happen?
I had the idea for a book probably within a year after the regular incident happened. And I just, I worked a mile away from here. This is a second job I took. I was like in Fort Myers. I was driving every day to Fort Myers and back. So it was like an hour drive back and forth. So I had a little microphone recorder and I just was telling the story every day back and forth, just everything I can remember and all the things that had happened to us.
Kind of a brain dump?
Yeah. Yeah. So then I just kind of compiled it all together finally after like 3 years I started working on it and put it all together and, you know, put everything that we went through, everything that happened to us.
The book is called A Beautiful Day to Fall. Kind of a dark title, sort of. Do you take kind of a humorous approach to the whole thing?
I do. It's how I handle things. It's how I deal mentally with things. If I just throw fun at it, because what can you do? You know, you can't take things too seriously. I was trying to come up with a good name for it. And in several of my interviews before, I said, as I was hanging on for my life, I said, I looked down and I thought, this is an actual beautiful day and I'm going to fall to my death here. And my wife picked up on that and she said, how about this, a beautiful day to fall? And I'm like, that kind of fits really good.
It makes sense. And yeah, yeah. And watching the video, you can see it was a gorgeous day.
Oh, it was beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Well, your book is available on Amazon and we'll have a link to that. So if anybody wants to pick it up, they can certainly do that. Chris, thanks again and have fun in the Azores.
Oh, thank you. Gonna find something to do. Maybe not hang gliding, but we'll figure something out.
Here's something I would not have predicted. Because of being in the news for this, Chris has been on a couple of German game shows. Right after his hang gliding video went viral, he was on Das Quiz 2018. And then just a few months ago, in September 2023, he was on Komm zu Glauben. That episode will be live in March. And I want to tell you about a podcast that I just subscribed to recently. You know, here on this show, we've done a few episodes that have to do with giving birth. In fact, back in episode 91, the whole episode was people telling their own individual stories about when they gave birth and the strange or funny or even sad things that happened. Well, now there's a whole podcast that has stories like that. It's called Birth as We Know It. And this isn't a paid ad or a trade. In fact, the host, whose name is Kiona Nessenbaum, doesn't even know I'm mentioning it here. But I'll tell you, she's amazing. And I know that because I actually met Kiona recently at a podcasting conference. And I'll tell you this, she is passionate about birth stories. That's why I love it, and that's why I think you'll love it too, because we all love an amazing story. So go and check out her show. You can find it on any podcast app. Just search for Birth as We Know It. The episode I really recommend to start with is episode 22 with her guest named Anissa. That's A-N-I-S-S-A. Or you can check out Kiona's website, which is just her name, KionaNessenbaum.com. And don't worry about trying to write that down, because I'll have that link in the episode notes at whatwasthatlike.com/167. Graphics for this episode were created by Bob Bretz. Full episode transcription was created by James Lai. And now, this week's listener story. This one is from my friend Lauren. I've known Lauren for years. She lives in New York City, and I see her at conferences all the time because she runs a company called Tink Media, which is at tinkmedia.co, and she helps podcasters grow their audience. So if you have a podcast and you want to reach more listeners, get in touch with her. In this story, Lauren tells us about the time she fell down and was helped by a stranger. And I have to tell you, I absolutely love this story. Stay safe, and I'll see you in a week with the next new episode of What Was That Like?
I'm a runner, and in 2014, I was training for the Disney Marathon. I'm a huge Disney nut. I was in pain. I had injured myself, but I thought it was something small. I actually had an MRI appointment scheduled. But before the appointment, I was walking to work it was January in New York City, walking up Park Avenue with a big 7-Eleven coffee in my hand, and I fell on some ice. And the second I fell, it felt a lot of pain, but I didn't realize how bad it was. I spilled my coffee everywhere, and my first thought was, oh no, I'm going to have to go get more coffee. But I realized I was having trouble getting up, and you know, some people swarmed around me, and they seemed unsure if I was okay, but one woman made a beeline to me, and she picked me up, and I was leaning on her. And I said, oh my gosh, thank you so much. I have to go to work. And she said, you can't go to work. You're hurt. You have to go to the hospital. I don't know how she knew this and I didn't. Anyway, I was like, I guess, okay, sure. I could tell I was in a lot of pain. So she said, I'm going to call you a cab. And I said, you don't have to do that. Please, I'm sure you have to be somewhere. She said, no, I'm going to call you a cab. So she called me a cab. And I'm then realizing how much pain I'm in and that I can't really walk. And the cab arrives and she said, you know what? I'm going to get into the cab with you. And I said, please don't do that. You know, don't you have to go to work too? And she said, no, I'm going to get in the cab with you. And so she gets in the cab and she tells the cab driver where to go, NYU Langone, which is a hospital. And I said, who are you? And she said her name was Sharon and that she actually worked for like a medical device company. And she knew the right hospital to take me to because she said that when she had moved to New York City, her and her friends had memorized the best hospitals to go to in case of emergency, in case they got drunk and needed to go to the best hospital. So I would not have known that. Then she told the cab to take me to a special entrance that I also would not have known about. So we get to the hospital. And she says, you know what, I'm going to go get you a wheelchair. And I said, you know what, you don't have to do that. In my head, I'm thinking, I hope that you help me because I can't do this alone. This whole time, I've been telling her, no, go to work. And in my head, I'm like, please help me. She seemed to have known that I needed her help. So she goes and gets me a wheelchair. And she's like, I'm going to wheel you in. And I'm like, no. And she does. And then she wheels me in and she helps me do my paperwork. She helps me go to the bathroom, a stranger. And she wheels me into the doctor. She stays with me the whole time. And, you know, in the car, I had discovered that her name was Sharon because she was from Sharon, Pennsylvania. And that happened to be the town where my grandmother lives and where my family is from. So, you know, they do an emergency surgery on me. I had broken my hip. I could have died. There could have been a blood clot. And, you know, I was, you know, I had to go on work disability. I was on crutches for a long time, which is actually when I started listening to podcasts. I fell in love with podcasts on crutches. And the doctor had told me, you know, you're never going to be able to run the same way. You know, you can maybe run, but you won't be able to race. And I thought, let's see about that. And I did everything they said. I followed all of the physical therapy. I took it really seriously. And I came back really, really slowly. I'll never forget the first day I was allowed to run. I was so excited. I had the date marked in my calendar. And I went out on my run. I was allowed to run for like 7 minutes. And I came back. My husband said, how was it? And I was in tears. And I thought, this is why people hate running. This was so terrible. I'm never running again. But I kept at it. And less than a year later, I was in the Disney World half marathon. It was a princess half marathon. And I was wearing a Tinkerbell costume because I love Tinkerbell. And I won the whole race. And there were tens of thousands of people in this race. And I won. And I had no idea that would happen. You know, I remember starting out and thinking, oh my gosh, I think I'm going to get in the first 10, the top 10. And then, oh my gosh, I think I'm going to be in the top 5. And it was honestly the happiest moment of my life to cross that finish line. It meant so much more than if I had won any other race. I was in Disney World, the place where I felt the most magical and happy, in my Tinkerbell costume, where I also felt very happy, and I won. I kept in touch with Sharon for a while afterwards, but I have lost touch with her. So Sharon, if you're listening, please reach out to Scott and have him connect us once again, because you saved my life and you made me love running again. And I just don't know where I would be without you.